I tell you what, when I found out about Jesus and about the kingdom coming, I really started to believe it. I started packing. And how many of you are packing up? What do you mean by packing up? Does anybody know you're gonna go on a trip? And you got to pack to get ready? Well, you make sure when you go, there's a crown awaiting you. And you want to have souls on the other side and fruit that may last and stand. And this is one of those things that you can use in reference to that. We're going to go right back to where we left off. All right. Now, also, one of the things that we said that God wants us to do in order to see this work established, the best tool of evangelism, the number one way is to win souls. Guess who's the number one soul winner? Who's the number one soul winner? Who won more souls than anybody else? Jesus. Say, Jesus wins souls. Jesus has always been the great soul winner. And even today, if we're going to win souls, it would be Jesus that will win souls in this final hour. He started it, and also Jesus is going to be the one to finish it. Jesus is a better soul winner. I elect Jesus. How many are going to vote for Jesus to win souls in this final hour? The Bible says don't put your confidence and trust in men. Good Lord, they'll let you down. The one that you believe in the most is the one that will really, just devastate your faith. But we believe in Jesus Christ, the rock and sure foundation that will never let us down. Who's the answer and who's the reason for the future? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus, the church, the Word of God, the Bible is the answer. That's what's going to turn things around. The things that we can't agree on, Jesus has already settled it. What? He didn't have to vote about it, think about it. He didn't have to get the solution from us. He already knows. So church, why don't we go with the one that we know? The Bible says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift up Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, people, it's time to draw. It's time for us to start a campaign. It's time for us to draw people to Jesus Christ. He's a sure foundation. He's got a kingdom coming. He doesn't need any more taxes. He knows exactly what to do. He created all things, and by him were all things created. How do we lift up Jesus in this final hour? Well, do you know what? Until we all come into the unity of the faith. What do you mean by coming into the unity of the faith? The local church has always been, is, and will always be the number one tool for evangelism in the world. Isn't that amazing? When do we get Jesus? When we all come together as one corporate body and everybody's functioning in what God tells them to function in and everybody's doing what God told them to do, you know what? It'll be just like Jesus came to town. How many would be glad if we had Billy Graham work in the Woodlands? Wouldn't that be great? You know, but we're going to have to find a way to preserve Billy because he's only got a couple more years left. But Jesus will always be there and we need some help. You know, we can always think of things and reasons why things aren't happening and convicting one another, condemning one another, kind of find excuses. But it still doesn't get the job done. Jesus is the answer for the world today, point blank. And how do we get Jesus to become the answer? Do you know what I believe? That as we learn to function together, as we learn to flow together, as we learn to love together, guess what? We get a reward. And what is the reward? The reward is what? Christ Jesus in manifestation through the local body. It takes time, but we'll get it. Everybody say love. What is renewing the mind? Renewing the mind is basically quoting scripture until we believe what the Word of God says. If we don't have it, talk about it. So just say the word love. Love. When you get caught up against situations and when you don't know what to do and you're ready to Knock somebody's head off. Have you ever want to be there? Anybody ever been there? When you want to say something, you don't really. Sometimes you just don't know what to do. You just have to say to yourself, I just guess I'm going to have to love. Say, so it's time to pull out the big guns. You know what? Love is the big guns. Love is easy. Love just saying, I give up. I love. That's as easy as love is. You know, love is, people try to make love complicated. Love is simple and love is easy. You want to learn how to love, look at the children. And when you don't want to learn how to love, look at a baby. Love is just basically giving up, and that is the big gun. Okay, so there's several things that we want to do in love. First of all, we are not going to be able to love anybody else until we love whom? God. You must love God, period. You've got to love God. How do you love God? Figure it out. Amen. Then if you love God, something's going to happen in your life. You are going to automatically start to love others. So if you're going to love God, you are automatically going to start to love somebody else. And you don't love anybody else. Love is just not the way you feel. It's not the way that I feel. It's the way that I act and what I do. Wow. Anybody want to get brownie points with God? Love somebody. Love somebody. If you ever want to see God, man, if you ever want to bring the anointing of God on the scene and start to move in, what? Love. Start to act like Jesus and start to do something. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. How many thank God for faith? Well, this verse, this passage in Scripture tells us that faith worketh by love. Wow, faith. And we know that the worlds were put together by words and by faith. God, through faith, fashioned the world and created all things. Say, God put this whole thing together by faith. Faith established everything. Whatever you're living in, whatever you're embodying in, everything that God's going to create for you, and your healing, your manifestation, your prosperity, you going over to the other side, you getting to go to heaven, all of those things. God did those things by and through faith. And if you want anything from God, guess what? You're going to have to learn the faith walk and the faith life. Learn to live it, love it, and walk in it. But listen, that faith life is operated. The structure is faith. But the power behind our faith is our love. Wow. Faith works by love. If you have faith, have greater love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? Say that one more time. By what? But by love do what? But by what? Do what? Time to grow up as Christians. Time to act like Jesus and try to live like Jesus. God, we know that God wants every single one of us to fulfill our destiny and to make a difference in the earth and to leave our mark on the earth. Well, listen, you're going to have to do that by love. God has left us here that we might be just like Jesus and serve one another. And you're going to find as you're serving God in ministry, some people are being called to preach. And some people are being called to go to Bible school. Some people are called to do flowers and vacuum floors. There's a calling on everybody's life. But I tell you what, that calling is going to get into, as you're serving God, as you're doing anything with God, guess what you're going to encounter? You're going to encounter some opposition. You're going to encounter some obstacles that only love will allow you to continue and go through in. Say, we serve by love. And if we don't learn love, and if we don't walk in love, guess what? We are not going to be able to serve anybody. Let me tell you this, because the thing that you are serving to others, I'm going to tell you straight up why you have to get love inside your heart. You're going to come to the knowledge in your ministry that this one thing, the thing that you're offering and the thing that you're giving, no one deserves. Including you yourself. And learn it from the get-go. It's a grace and it's a mercy. And if you offer this gift and you serve God out of your own flesh and out of your own understanding, you're going to logically put the pieces together and say, hey, look, these people don't deserve this. My neighbor doesn't deserve this. Forget him. But you're not going to be able to give the best that God has to offer and all of it that God has to offer until you learn the love walk. And that will cause you to look beyond your own stuff. To look beyond what you think about people and what you feel about people and what you think people deserve and what you think is enough. And get into the point to where we see what God sees. That goes in line when God says, if someone asks you to go with them 1 mile, go with them how many? You can slap me one time, but I ain't going to let nobody slap me. If somebody slaps you on one cheek, what do you do? Why? Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're not going to be able to do anything unless you do it through the love and through the grace of God. And thank God it is a grace, right? And love is not love unless we act on it, okay? So it says, listen, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. This is the whole thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But it's the Christians that do all the biting. See, we're all looking for the devil, but we forget about ourselves. You know, the devil has no place in us. The devil can't touch you. The devil can't harm you. The devil can't hurt you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He can't do anything to you. When we love each other and we have vulnerability toward one another, we are the ones that have the ability to bite and destroy and tear down one another. You mean we have to watch the way that we treat each other? We have to watch the way what we think about each other. We have to watch what we say to each other. By the watch to which way we walk. Yes. Why? Because within every believer is the potential and the ability God's entrusted you with. Teeth. Oh my God. And God's entrusted us with words. What does that mean? The Bible says we will give an account for every idle word we speak. Guess what? The devil might not have any teeth, but believers do. Write it down. And we have to be careful. It is so true. How many have ever been mauled before? I meet so many people that have come from different places and come into different situations that have just gone through a Christian mauling. We have to watch out for that, and we've got to know. Let me tell you, as a believer, when people grow up in the faith and when they come into church, say, let me tell you this. First of all, the devil doesn't have any teeth, but you do. Watch what you do with them. We're talking about the love and the grace of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We can do it. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What does that mean? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is our strength? For the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. He's stronghold. He is the ability that I have. He is my power. Well, listen, the fruit of the Spirit is your strength. This is the strength that God is talking about. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. First, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, they that are the Lord's, have crucified the flesh. And the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I thank God for the voice of the Holy Ghost. And there are two things I just want to get across to you that you can live by that will give us all deliverance to go on and to overcome. Somebody say edification. No one is able to edify a church until they're able to edify themselves. You can't build a church. You can't build a kingdom. You can't build a ministry. You can't build a you can't build a business. You can't build anything until you build yourself. That's God's way. We want to seek to edify the kingdom of God in this city. We want to seek to edify God in this local congregation. How do we do that? By allowing every particular individual to edify themselves. And how we get into problems when we get people that are constantly trying to edify the house, but never edify themselves. Edification. Self-edification is important. Let's go here. Go to Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may what? Edify another. Let's edify another. And as I was praying over these scriptures and praying over these things and in the Holy Ghost, I caught some stuff. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, remember when the Bible was talking about liberty? Don't allow your liberty to get in the way of some things, because we always talk about our freedom and our liberty. But you want to use your liberty for the edification of others. Now, when we think of edification, we always think about puff up and build up, right? How many know that that's what the word edification means, to build yourself up and to puff yourself up? How many think that that's what edification, you've got that understanding? Whenever I read the word edification, I just thought energize yourself. Edify yourself, energize yourself, build yourself up. But when you go deeper into the word edification and to edify, actually it means it's like an architect, okay? But what it basically means, it means to build a structure. To build a structure. So basically what it means is to create, you know, when God tells us that when we love one another, we're going to edify one another and do these things, we basically build a structure to cause people to grow up in. So it says, do all things for the edification of all. That means everything that we do in worship, everything that we do in relationship to one another, we want to make sure that the environment, that the atmosphere is conducive to spiritual growth. And that there's no occasion for stumbling in any area. Edification. That's what God is talking about. That's what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Why? Because a peaceful environment is a structure to where we can build the house of God. Edification. And things wherewith one may edify another. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. This is where we as bodies and believers, we get off sometime, but we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, all things, everything, is lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You can do a lot of stuff, and everything we do does not create an atmosphere for people to grow in. And our commission and our call in life is to have people grow into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, if people can grow in praise, well, praise your heart out. People grow in love, love your heart out. So don't stand on anything unless it's something that will cause somebody else to grow and live by. And so that's basically what he's talking about here. It says, all things are lawful me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful me, but all things edify not. Paul even said this. Paul says he does a lot of stuff, but everything he does is not necessary to the edification of everybody. And we can all get that way. There are certain things that I like personally, and I just think it's absolutely essential. But when you really look for it, you ain't going to edify nobody. Whether I like boogie-woogie music and somebody else likes the pipe organ, which one edify the most? Doesn't matter. All things, you know, we got to think edification and get down to the root of it. Say, let no man seek his own wealth. Let no man seek his own but another's wealth. Now, we talk about wealth, and wealth is just a symbol of everything, but we can get to the point where everybody wants their stuff, and everybody wants their agenda. Everybody wants their music. Everybody wants their style. Everybody wants their taste. Everybody wants their personality. Everybody wants me, 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 me. Seems like we're all tuning up for an ungodly choir. Me, 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 me. When you start hearing the choir tuning up to me, 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 you're getting ready to have yourself a chorus of mess. I mean, you're about to get a big show. It come from that corner. It'll come from this corner. It'll come from the back. What about me, me, me? I mean, how many have been in church for a while? Some of you that are old, all of you have been there for a while. Notice that as you learn, whenever you hear the first thing before you get a message, me, 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 me. What about me? This is one of the things that God wants to address in all of our lives. He wants to address that in my life. He has to address that in your life. What about me? But you'll never know. You'll always have a what about me syndrome. Even religious, there are religious what about me's. And you will always have a what about me until you edify yourself. Until you build a structure that will allow the Holy Spirit to flow for him. Let no man seek his own but another's wealth. Romans chapter 15 verse 2. Let every one of us please who? For his what? Say it again. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good. But so often we can get to the point. Say, deal with it. Anybody ever heard that? What an attitude. What a heart. What a mindset. Isn't that Jesus? When the Bible tells us, let us please our neighbors. And sometimes our neighbors cry out to us, please. Anybody ever had that? Please. Please. Can't take it anymore. Please. Well, please means make their walk in Christ. Make it a joy, not a burden, not a hindrance, anything that we do. There are certain things that people need. Now, you got to realize this. That if their spirit wants to go on, don't hinder that spirit. But there are certain things in flesh that we should, certain things people in the flesh don't want to do. You don't want to please people's flesh at all. But you do want your life and your Christian witness to be one that pleases others, that people are excited to walk in Christ with you. And most of the time they're thinking, how do I deal with this one? How do I deal with that one? Don't make yourself a hindrance to somebody else's faith, but how you may please others for his good, what? Edification. Don't stick extra in there. Keep the extras out. For even Christ pleased not himself. Even Christ, I'm sure when Jesus came and when Jesus walked the earth and when Jesus ministered, there were certain things that he wanted to do, certain things that he wanted to say, certain things that he wanted to bring about. He cried out to one city, oh, Jerusalem, how I long to hold you in my arms. But you did, that would have given him pleasure, right? He went to his own city and his own town and his own city and his own town didn't receive him. I'm sure he would have been pleased to do more things there. I'm sure when he ministered out there, he would have sure. I'm sure the atmosphere wasn't great. I'm sure he wouldn't want to have the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes criticizing and questioning after every meeting he had. Amen. But he didn't please himself. He took his mission more important than his pleasure. As is written, the reproaches of them, even the reproaches fell on me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for what? For your edification, for your building up. And not for your, what? Destruction. I should not be ashamed. Well, what does this thing say? Either you're building up or you're tearing down. In everything that we do, we're either building somebody up or tearing something down. And when you judge things, judge this way. What is my action? What is my heart? What is my mindset? What is my ministry? Is it going to build up or is it going to tear down? So that when we try to please ourselves, you know what? There's only enough room in this town for one of us. It's basically what Jesus is saying. When Jesus comes to town, when Jesus comes into our life, when Jesus comes in our ministry, he says, there's only enough room in this town for both of us. You got to decide which one of us wants to live. He said, I'm not going to cohabitate this place with you. Amen? It's going to be me or you. Either you're going to build up the kingdom of God. The Bible says, I must decrease so he can what? Increase. And if we want to see Christ increase in our community and in our church and in our mindset, guess what? We got to have a decrease campaign, a campaign of decrease. Get out of the way so God can get in the way. We want to see more of God. Most of the time when people complain, we need to see more of the Spirit move, more of the Holy Ghost, more of these things. And many of the time they don't want to see more of the Spirit. They just want to see more of their own way. Those that truly want to see God move in their lives and in the lives of others are those that got to the point where we say, listen, I'll give up whatever I have to give up. I'll do whatever I have to do so I don't get in the way of what God's trying to do. I'll do it. I'll make the sacrifice. I'll make the witness decrease. Well, one guy in the Bible had to decrease. He wouldn't talk to certain people because of which race they were. He didn't like talking to Gentiles and all those different people because he was a Jew. He had to decrease. He saw a little thing going up and down a ladder, so he had to decrease his personal preference. He had to get over that stuff so he can get on to what God wants to get on with. Before we can get over in life, we need to get over ourselves and get over our hang-ups. Maybe it's our hang-ups that have us hooked up to stuff and hooked up to the past. God wants to do something special in our lives. And if you want something to change, the first thing that's going to change is you and me. And there'll be no change until we make that decision. Change your heart, change your mind, change your thought process, and you can change the world. Change must happen, and let it begin in us. How many want to see a change? I'm going to tell you, when I want to see a change, the biggest problem in things changing the nation's church, and you might take this crazy, is me. And what do you mean by me? And it's the same thing for you. Because I cannot change you. Only you can change you. But if we need something to change, we can do our part. And our part is to confront ourselves. If you want to take down the giants, take down the giant of your own heart. Because either you're edifying, or you are destroying. Self-willed. That's a hefty one. God talks to us about self-will. Titus chapter 1 verse 7. It says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not what? Not self-willed. It says that if you want to be a bishop, if you want to be an overseer, you want authority, you want certain things, there is one qualification that you've got to have. And that qualification is not being self-willed. How do you get rid of self-will? And why is it important to get rid of self-will? Because as a leader, if you get off into your direction and you get off into your will, you'll miss the will of God. You've got to be willing to say, like Jesus said, nevertheless, not as I will, Lord, but as you will. And it's got to start from the top and work its way down. It's going to be the will of God or no way. He said he must not be a lover of himself, and he must not be self-willed. Notice that in many cases when we get rid of somebody and there's a scandal on somebody, we want to fuss over giving too much wine, or that they're always angry, that they're stealing money. All these other things are secondary to the main thing, self-willed. A hindrance to any growth, hindrance to the growth of any ministry, of any church, of any family, is self-willed individuals. Verse individuals. How do you get rid of self-will? The same way that the disciples and the apostles got rid of it. And we'll find that out later. Bible says self-willed people is self-pleasing. Now, you know you got to take care of yourself. God's not asking you to be miserable. Self-pleasing. What self-will is a self-pleasing? This is what I please to do. This is what I enjoy. This is what I like. Well, you better get over what you like sometime and get over to the will of God. And the will of God is the Word of God. Let the Word of God confront our hearts. Amen. So that we can go on and do the things that God wants us to do. Right here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise what? Government. Maybe the Holy Ghost is teaching all of us something, because especially all of the things that are going on politically, all of these things, we can check ourselves, and we can check different issues. Self-willed. Pride will slip its way in any way and try to justify itself. It will do it in every way. Presumptuous. They are what? Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I'm going to say what I want. I'm going to do what I want. They are not afraid. But we as believers,
We will not be self-willed. We will have our will seared with the word of God. Nevertheless, I don't care. Nevertheless means I just don't forget the whole thing. I will not be self-willed. I will be governed with the will of God, with the word of God. And I will trust the word of God. There's a way which seemeth right to man. But the Bible says the end therein leads only to what? Death. Seriously, we're all going to have to get into, I'm going to tell you, you'll be repenting until the day you die. I mean, if as long as you got the Holy Ghost, you'll be repenting. If the Holy Ghost wasn't there to change you, lead you, if you knew the way, he wouldn't send you a guide. If you knew the way, he wouldn't have sent you a guide. And if you didn't need to be confronted about sin and all these other things, he wouldn't have given you the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is just not your drinking partner. He's just not your dancing partner, but he's your leader, your guide. He's a spirit within us that sees the things that we can't see. Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. And it causes us not. It is the only thing that will deliver us from ourselves. God has delivered us from the forces of hell and from the forces of the devil. But you must sanctify yourself and deliver yourself from your own self-will. There is a way which seemeth right to men, but the end therein leads only to death. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the what? Pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many of you want to abide forever? How many of you want to hang out and stand? If you want to go on to the next thing, be pliable to the Holy Spirit. Be open to change. Be adjustable. Don't be rigid. Be workable. Let God work you over and do what he wants to do. He that doeth the will of God abides forever. There's one more thing that I want to talk to you about. Thoughts. Matthew chapter 9 verse 4. Said, and Jesus knowing their thoughts said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Wow. What does that mean? How does a house get divided and things go on and cause it not to stand? What happens in churches? What happens in churches that cause churches not to stand? Self-willed individuals. Instead of people that are confronted by the Word of God and say, listen, that settled it. The Word of God settled. This is what we're going to do and this is the way we're going to. There's an answer in every case, never an argument. I've never had an argument where the Word of God didn't answer it. That's just it. Self-willed things causes things not to stand. And we cannot be afraid to stand on the Word of God. Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. Said, unless the house is built on the word, which is Christ Jesus, anything that's built on Jesus, it will stand. But if it's not built on Jesus, I don't care how well you seem to be doing, guess what? Can't be built on your desire, on what you like and what you think. And it'll last for a little while, but it'll come and go. But it's got to be built on Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Well, what's an evil thought? What would you consider to be an evil thought? A self-willed thought. Evil doesn't do anything but represent our way, and we want verse with the way that God wants. See, that's how do you discern between good and evil? God's paths are good. God's paths are good, but there's an evil path as well. Our self-willed path for our life and our self-direction, anything that causes us to super exceed what God wants for us, guess what? It's evil. Evil thoughts. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, and all these other things. But before all those other things, before all of those other things, notice that evil thoughts is the first thing spoken. And many people think an evil thought is just, oh, I just thought about sinning. Or I just thought about evil thoughts is nothing but pride. 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 Luke chapter 11, verse 17. He says it again. But But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. How do you work with these thoughts? How do you work with the thoughts? Somebody said, you mean I got to watch my thoughts? You mean I got to watch what I meditate on? You got to watch, I got to watch what I dwell on? Evil thoughts go beyond just wanting a beer. Evil thoughts go beyond just looking at some at a person of the opposite sex. Evil thoughts go beyond just thinking that I'm going to steal this. Anything that is contrary to what God wants in your life and what God's trying to do in your life, count it as an evil thought. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner. This is what you've got to learn, how to discern between thoughts and your will and the will of God. And there are a lot of people, Brother John Osteen said, how do you tell a mature Christian, how can you tell when you're mature in the faith and you're mature in God? He says, when you're able to discern the difference between good and evil, is maturity. It's Christian maturity. It's when you become mature as a saint and mature as a believer, when you're able to find out, you know, say, you know, you can go every day. Devil's not going to leave you alone all the time. You every day, thoughts are going to come your way and opportunities to do good and temptations to do evil. But you got to learn to discern those things. Everything that looks good is not God. And you've got to learn to discern this. Where is it? Is this coming from my flesh or is this from the Spirit? And sometimes you just don't know. And it's real easy. Sometimes there's not going to be handwriting on the wall. That was a spiritual thought. Well, that was a God thing. Sometimes you even got to watch the handwriting on the wall and every little voice you hear. Every little voice you hear might not be from God. Every little impulse you get doesn't have to be from God. The only way you can tell the difference between the will of God and the thought of your from your own self and your own flesh is the Word of God. It's the judger of thoughts. And notice that Jesus constantly judged the thoughts of the people. Why? Because he was the Word of God. He was the Word of God. And every time he knew their thoughts, he would judge their thoughts and he would go on and do what he had to do. That's how he was able to tell the difference. How many of us are going to get to the point in our life to where we get beyond small stuff? We don't walk by what we see. Sometimes that's how we walk by faith. See, many people judge by what's going on. Well, if I do this, she'll do that, or he'll do this. We got to get beyond that and judge it, the Word of God. And the Word of God will give us direction. And we'll never lose when we walk by the Word of God. The Word of God is a judger and discerner of every single last thought. And you need the mind of Christ to get over. God knows what you need and God knows what to do and God's got a plan for you to bless you and to see you get to the other side. He's not going to destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But in order for you to pick up that life, for you to pick up that mindset, guess what you got to do? You got to judge. You got to judge your thoughts. You got to judge. You got to watch which way you're walking and make sure you're walking by the will of the Spirit and not necessarily by the will of yourself. It's pride. Thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, search me. One man says, search me and see if there be any wicked way within me. How would we get so prideful to where we could think, well, I've been saved for so long. Surely I could never go wrong. You need the Holy Ghost. You need God to constantly purge you. You need to stay in the place of prayer. Amen. You need to stay in the will of God to make sure you stay in the straight and narrow. God, I don't want to go to the right nor to the left. I want to stay right in the center of your will. Search me and see whether there be any wicked way within me. The way which leads to death and destruction, it's wide. But the way that leads to life, it's real narrow. Have the Holy Ghost search your heart and find direction for yourself. We will not be able to build a body. We'll not be able to build a church. We'll not be able to build a ministry. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, until individuals learn to edify themselves. He said, how can you pluck out the speck in your brother's eye when you can't remove the mote out of your own eye? Wow. Wow. Well, it's the same thing. How are we going to change America when we can't change ourselves? There's a portion in the Bible. There are going to be lots of people that do a lot of things and say a lot of things. And Jesus is going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world but yet lose his own soul? Make sure that everything you do, everything you say, and every way you walk is built up and based in the will of God. Edification. We can't allow ourselves to be stumbling blocks for others. Just the way I like to do it, this just makes me happy. We got to get beyond that stuff. We're out for souls. And I'm not going to depart from the will of God just because somebody else is not happy. We got to do what God wants. And as a ministry, at times, we can run into the same ruts. Like there was one portion of the Bible where the saints, when Aaron got into trouble, Moses went up to the mountain to be with God. He came back down. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff. They had concocted this worship service with this big old golden calf. And they were partying down. And he said, "What happened?" And he said, "I listened to the people." What? We are to listen to the heart of God and to the mindset of God and make sure that we stay in tune. And there's only one way that you're going to be able to hear the heart of God. One way. One way that you're going to deal with self-will. And there's only one way for you to edify yourself. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And notice that as you do that, right after that in Jude chapter 21, what does it say? "Keep yourselves in love." It didn't say keep yourselves in love and then pray in the Holy Ghost, because that's impossible. That's impossible. It said pray in the Holy Ghost first. Then it said keep yourself in love, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some having compassion. Wow. I won't be able to have compassion, nor will I be able to make a difference until I do, verse 20, which is first, build up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you want to make a difference, deal with yourself. And as you submit yourself to the will of God, something will happen to you. You'll start to walk like Jesus, start to talk like Jesus, and then you will have the potential. You will have the ability to bring about effective change. How many are glad that we have the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of the Spirit, that we can get God's thing done? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, O Lord. And you will cast out devils. You'll see devils fly from the right to the left. Stuff will come out when the will is broken, when people discern and say, "Look, as for me, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. Nothing is going to separate me from serving God with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my spirit." Why don't you stand right where you are?